Welcome to Matt Mania, episode 30 with special guest Matt Con. Ring the bell.
Back with another episode of Matt Mania. So we talk about wrestling with people who know wrestling from a fan's perspective. Today my guest is a good buddy of mine, Matt Con. Matt, are you there?
Hello. What's up, Mega Ran?
What's going on, Matt?
Just chilling, playing some Overwatch over here in San Francisco, and yeah, just got back from Japan, just like yourself. We got to see some wonderful New Japan, which was amazing.
We did. We went to a New Japan house show. That was where the first time I actually technically met you was there in person, and we had a good time, man. It was really great. We got standing room only seats.
No, we were both at Money in the Bank.
Wait a minute, were we?
Yeah.
Hold up. Okay, we didn't really hang out though.
No. I think I said hi at Money in the Bank, but I was gonna go over to Dreas, and I went over to Dreas, and they were like, "Oh, you need a dress code," and I was like, "Fuck it." And then I saw the. Oh, can I curse in the show? Or is this not a cursing show?
Yeah, absolutely. Go right ahead.
I saw the dress code. I was like, "Never mind." And then I saw the pictures with like the Warriors and stuff, and none of the Warriors, Kevin Love and stuff, and yeah.
It was insane. That was so, like the craziest night of my life, which is, that's hilarious that you were in the same city. Like, we were worried about dress codes, so we went the extreme opposite and went and rented tuxedos, and we're like, man, why not? Like, if we're gonna do it big, we gotta do it big, right?
Yeah.
So we rented tuxes, and we were like the absolute most overdressed people in the party. And so we felt like idiots, and we're like hot and sweaty on the dance floor. And it was just not a great look. But so much fun, though. I mean, there was the Cleveland Cavaliers, there was Wale, there was the New Day. Like, it was just madness. And it was right after they won the championship. Like, one of the craziest moments of my existence, I gotta say. Like, I was like, how do we get here, dude? Like, this is crazy. So, yeah, we kind of overdid it. Then we're like, dude, we're overdressed, so let's just go back and change. So we did. Oh, man. That's right. You were at Money.
Yeah, and I was thinking about, like, renting the tux, and I was like, forget it. Like, yeah, and then once I saw the pics, I was like, oh, man, I should have hung out with Wale and Kevin Love and stuff.
Dude, you should have hung out just a little longer. Like, seriously, like, it was insane. Oh, man. So, New Japan. That was my first time catching a New Japan event. Was that your first time as well?
Yeah. The first time seeing New Japan live. Definitely a unique experience. Definitely, like, nothing like going to a WWE live show.
Now, I talk about that a lot on here. Like, I've done two episodes since I got back, and I said that. Like, man, it's just such a different environment. But maybe you could just slightly explain that. Like, what's different about it? Is it better, worse, or just different?
I mean, it's different. I think that, like, in the same way as, I just actually just the other day went out to, like, this really raging party at a nightclub. And the difference between, like, when you go out drinking socially,
yeah, I was shocked, man. I thought it was going to be in the Tokyo Dome, like, even for house shows. I mean, I figured that they would just sell it out. And for them to, like, for us to be able to walk up, and granted, they were standing room only, but still, I was really expecting to be turned away. You know, I was like, it's day of, and there's no way that we're going to be able to get in here. And sure enough, we did. It was hot and crowded, and just like everywhere else in Japan, but you know, I had an amazing time. And I thought, I always talk about the crowd. Like, what do you think? I mean, I feel like the crowd has such a deeper understanding and respect for the different parts and nuances of wrestling that American fans, I think, are starting to open up to. But overall, I mean, you see a lot of, like, applause on kind of like some, what we would consider to be some regular moveset, you know, combos, and then there's the stop for applause and things like that that I really enjoyed. It felt like much more like a show, you know, a very intimate show.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I definitely thought it was interesting, you know, like you read these books by like Jericho or different people who about when they go to Japan in like the 90s and how like the crowds be like dead silent during the matches because they just want to enjoy it. And I think that's changed. I think that, you know, in the same way as, you know, we're watching here in America as like our tastes are starting to change and we're starting to create like this like globalist kind of, you know, WWE's basically become a globalist brand where they're doing like this, you know, the CWC and, you know, you can just kind of see it in the way that, like, they're definitely moving away from this, like, you know, you, like, all the wrestlers have to be these, like, white American, you know, male, you know, and now they're starting to have women, they're starting to have people from different nationalities, and, like, and, you know.
Ah, that's really interesting. I do feel like there is a big melding of the styles right now from east to west where it's all kind of coming together. I feel like you said, American fans are starting to appreciate the small nuances of the art of wrestling, and the Japanese audience is starting to appreciate the loudness, you know, and the activeness of the American style. So that's pretty cool. I see a good little melding of cultures there, which is fun, I think. All right, but let's get into you, Mr. Matt Khan. All right. You, first of all, I was impressed with your knowledge of New Japan while I was there. I was asking you the whole time. You were my encyclopedia of who was who and what was what in New Japan. So what is your history with wrestling? Like, if you can go back, like, what's your earliest wrestling memory?
Yeah, well, so...
Where did it start?
Yeah, it started with WCW. It started with the Monday Night Wars. I don't remember, maybe like 6 or 7, I think this was right as Hall and Nash were invading, and for whatever reason, I think my dad, you know, put on Nitro, and I was hooked from then on. And, you know, I got to see, I think, just as Hogan was turning. And, yeah, it just was really cool getting to, like, you know, I wasn't familiar with the WWF at the time. At all, and I even remember, like, one of my like uncles or someone in my family was actually like a really high level executive at like WWF, and at one point, I guess, like, they got us floor seats, like, you know, at the front row for some WWF show, and I'd never watched WWF at that time, but I know that, like, I guess my parents were like, oh, Matt likes wrestling, we should take him to a wrestling show. And so they took me out to, like, Maine. They were like, oh, we're going to a basketball show or something. And I was like, I don't really care. And then we went in, and I was like, is there a ring there? And it surprised me. But it was all wrestlers that, like, looking back now, I feel like I would have been so much more, like, you know, it was like I got to see, you know, front row, like, Bret Hart and you know, Undertaker and Owen Hart. And, you know, all these people who just, like, Shawn Michaels. And at the time, I just didn't even, like, appreciate it. So I went back, I'm like, oh man, that was really cool, I got to sell that live. But I didn't know the characters, I didn't know what was going on. To me, I was all like, I wanted to see, you know, the Wolfpack, and I wanted to see NWO and all that stuff.
Nice, okay.
So I grew up with that, and I watched it for a couple of years, and I think, you know, I fell in love with it.
Goldberg beat Hogan, you mean? Right. I really, they were cooking with gas for a long time, and I feel like they just shot their load. And I mean, maybe I didn't think about it at the time, but I do remember Goldberg beating Hogan in the Georgia Dome and thinking, like, I would have paid my everything to see this, and I get to see it for free. You know, I do remember thinking that. And so they were just saying how they left so much money on the table, like, looking back, how that should have totally been a pay-per-view match. And then from there, you're right, it just kind of all tumbled, you know.
But I mean, like, let's forget the money for a second, like, right? Like, because the money side, like, they don't, you know, we don't know how the money works, right? So, but that aside, I think it's just, like, to have that be, like, the whole, you know, the money is in the chase, right? And to give that away in terms of, like, to give Goldberg the win, that's it. And they didn't have anyone else, like, waiting in the rafters. Like, there was nothing left.
Well, Sting was literally in the rafters.
Right.
This is after Sting did his thing and teased the NWO and all that. Was this after that? Or I think that might have been... Yeah, I think you're right. I'm reading a book now, The Death of WCW, which came out a few years ago, but it's been reprinted with a new foreword, and that's mainly what they talk about, and they get into a lot of that. And I remember being so into it, but I would flip back and forth at that time. I think that the rise of Stone Cold at the same time as Goldberg really had me into it, where I was flipping back and forth. But it was absolutely the NWO. It was me watching Hall and Nash enter into WCW, which got me back into wrestling, I think. You know, it was some early 2000s where I feel like it kind of really dropped off, and then I got back into it. But I do want to talk about, you mentioned people and their place in history and some things like that, but I want to talk about John Cena before we go into the pay-per-view and all that.
Sure.
We've been, some buddies of mine have been chatting about it, and John Cena, as you know, is close to tying the 16 world championship reigns of Ric Flair. I feel like right now WWE has kind of forgotten their history a little bit, and I think maybe for a good reason. They're like, hey, new era, wipe the slate clean, all these new belts and things, without mention of all these other guys who have done these things. So with that being said, do you think, because I feel like the internet will kind of explode if Cena hits 16, and especially if he passes 16. What's your opinion on that? Do you feel like we can handle it? Do you think it should happen? Do you think it shouldn't happen? What do you think?
I think we can handle it, and I think if anybody deserves it, it's Cena. I think Triple H is going to get there first. I almost feel like that's just, like, at the end of the day, you know, like, I think Triple H, I don't know, I mean, Triple H wants to be the one who gets it all, right? But I think he's also become smarter as he's gotten older, and he's beginning to realize that he can, you know, by being the boss, he can have it all. But I don't know if he's going to get greedy again, you know, I don't know if he's going to, because he's so close, right? He's at 14, right? Yeah, I think so. So I think that with his most recent quick stint, you know, became 14.
You think Triple H will creep up past Cena and just get it?
I don't know. Maybe. I think there's a story there, and I think that he could delude himself into being like, that's a more interesting story. You know, be like, I'm the evil boss that's like trying to, like, you know, steal it.
I think so. I mean, I think I can handle it, and I feel like it's like I agree with you there. With if anybody deserves it, I think in the current era, it's definitely Cena. I mean, he's held it down for so long. I think doing that and giving him that would be making a statement that a lot of, I guess, fans aren't comfortable with. You know what I mean? Like, saying that this is the guy. Like, he's...
But I think it depends on how you look at it, you know? Like, I think if you look at it from, like, a, you know, a storyline perspective, right? Of, like, is John Cena the most interesting dynamic character? And, like, obviously not. Like, it's his character is never really evolved. It's always been a one-note character. It's always been just kind of like the Superman kind of, like... Even, like, Hogan has more, like, you know, variance in terms of how the character is presented. Because, you know, under it all, we all knew that Hogan was a scumbag, right? But it was just kind of interesting seeing this, like, you know, this super overpowered character, but then he's, like, a scumbag. And or you have Ultimate Warrior, who's overpowered, but he's crazy. Or you have, you know, Ric Flair is, like, this overpowered thing. He's kind of this, like, misogynistic playboy, not really, like, a good person. And I think that, you know, you look at John Cena, he's like a genuinely, like, good, empathetic, nice person who's doing it for, like, the kids, and he does it for, like, the, you know, the kids who have, like, you know, terminal diseases. And I think at the end of it, like, he genuinely, like, maybe he has some, like, you know, elements of, like, wanting fame and money, sure, but it seems like he genuinely does it for the love of...
I think he was very interesting in the beginning. I thought heel cocky Cena rapping was very interesting. But, you know, they calmed all that down, and now it's been a pretty vanilla character since then. But I don't know. Do you think a heel turn or a heel run for those last few, and then maybe the big face turnaround to go over the top might make it a...
Oh, I'm sure he's going to have a big heel turn soon. I mean, I think that, like, right now, they're setting, like, the, you know, even, like, right now, we just saw the first clean loss of Cena on a non-pay-per-view in 9 years. You know, I think that you are seeing that they're finally starting to do stuff with his character.
All right. Well, I mean, I just wanted to throw that in there. That wasn't even part of the script. We went a little off. Went into business for ourselves there. But
if they can work the audience into, like, if that's what triggers an audience heel turn, you know, like maybe they don't, like, you know, because the thing is that you can't turn Cena heel by just making him a heel. Like, what is a heel anymore? You know?
Well, yeah. Now it's such a different thing. And I remember that JR was saying that, like, dude, like, what's a heel today when, like, basically no one respects the rules? So, yeah, what do you got to do to be a bad guy? And I think that's what they're kind of somewhat botching with Seth. I think they're kind of trying to turn him face, but he hasn't had the face turn event. You know what I mean? But we'll get to that later. But I feel like he hasn't really had an event where it's like, okay, he's definitely a good guy because he did this. You know?
I think that he's still in the tweener mode. I think that's actually, like, really, like, well done, I think, is that, like, you know, they haven't done the face of it. I think it is coming, but I think it's a very slow turn where, like, even just from this pay-per-view, he's starting to do his face moves again, where he's, you know, like, does, like, the double dot, like, suicide dive.
Yeah, I feel like leading up to the pay-per-view, him doing those dives, I mean, those are totally, like, good guy maneuvers, so I feel like it's coming, but I mean, if it is a slow build towards it, then I'm with it.
Well, because I mean, like, okay, you know, without jumping too far forward, I think the obvious match that they are planning for. And I think that if you look a mile away, it has to be Triple H versus Rollins. And if they're keeping him with the pedigree, and I'm assuming they're not gonna somehow switch. Triple H is not gonna be a face somehow. So I mean, I think that they're gonna keep building. I think that they just need to, continue to screw him over and do these like 2-on-1 things until eventually he becomes sympathetic, and then they can do the big turn.
Okay, all right. I guess so. This is similar. I guess, and I think like we talked about in the beginning, there is some, there's a lot of joy in the chase. We talked about in the WCW with Goldberg. And so the good guy has to kind of get screwed around a lot so we can build the sympathy up, and then you don't just blow your load with the payoff immediately. So I do feel like that's the long-term plan, Seth and Triple H. So I'll be excited for that. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Clash of the Champions match by match. We're going to rate it. We're going to give these matches grades and the pay-per-view and overall grade. And we'll be back. It's Mega Ran. It's Matt Con. It's Matt Mania.
Bits and rise every time. Yeah, Marcus, what up? We are the underestimated. Thank you, Andrew. It's all good because we made it. Thank you. Overlooked, underutilized, slept on, scrutinized, criticized, brutalized. Now I'm feeling supersized. Overcame the odds and understood the prize. Now they put me in the game, so I'm finally alive. And I sever ties with snakes and doubters who sniping ideas, then go get cake without us. No more, cause we done learned how to take the power. Cause this game is ours. To the top is where we going. The chosen, like Roman, rolling thick as Samoans. Been hoping for my moment, now it's time to let it soak in. Vinegar for listeners. Vintage is my signature. Marcus sets him up and I get minutes to the finisher. Yeah, I go. You said I couldn't do it. Let y'all know. Your words, they got me through it. Said I was foolish. Now everybody rocking to it. That's how we do it. Yeah, yeah, we cruising. Here I go. You said I couldn't do it. Let y'all know. Your words, they got me through it. Said I was foolish. Now everybody rocking to it. That's how we do it. Yeah, yeah, we cruising. Ain't no other kings in this nerd thing. They siblings. Nothing but my cheering. Two balls, they disappearing. It's Irwin. Cats say you in the perfect niche. Talking sideways like I didn't work for this. Open mics, no pay. Free shows, go play. Flying across the country on my own dime to show face. Charity work, money and time I donate. But no pain, no gain, cause hip-hop's my soulmate. Not to be rude, but the raps are so glorious. The only nerd rapper compared to Notorious. You know how I get down. Infuriate and exterminate Daleks down. Take a screenshot, Snapchat, jot this down. Got two cities on my back that I cannot let down. I respected you and now you just a spectacle. They think they know what's best for you, I tell you. Dream plan, execute. Yeah, I go. You said I couldn't do it. Let y'all know. Your words, they got me through it. Said I was foolish. Now everybody rocking to it. That's how we do it. Yeah, yeah, we cruising. Here I go. You said I couldn't do it. Let y'all know. Your words, they got me through it. Said I was foolish. Now everybody rocking to it. That's how we do it. Yeah, yeah, we cruising.
Yeah. Somebody should have taught me how to fail productive. My tips were like Melina, theme acute for Bell Destruction. Doing stuff they useless, producing the track that they were bumping. Stupid past reviews, they were clueless like fun on Days of Hunting. I made a something, but I had a race just to prove it. They don't want to say you can do it, until they look amazed when you're moving. Like elevators, congratulations, they say claim you too. When Dash is pressing nothing less than seeking every bit of greatness and proving.
They try to hold me down like a patroller. Just makes me multiply like the buttons on a servo controller. Said it was an uncreative waste of all my time. I had to grind and sublimate. Now I spread these wings and fly. I'll rise up to the stars, brightly, even on life number 9. Mighty. If you doubt the underdogs and tread lightly, cause we're the ones who just do it.
Why? It's no use, he hasn't a chance. But there's a tradition of all champions behind him. He has to fight, even when he has nothing left to fight with. Even when he's driven helplessly back against the ropes. He wobbles about and flinches, does his best to save himself from his relentless foe.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Matt Mania, our special guest Matt Con. We are talking wrestling, of course. Specifically, the pay-per-view that just ended, WWE's Clash of the Champions in Indianapolis. So we started off with a kickoff match. Nia Jax defeats Alicia Fox. I did not catch this match. I was on an airplane somewhere being stuck. But what do you think about this match?
You know, I just genuinely feel bad for Alicia Fox. I think that she tries really hard. She seems like actually like a nice person. And I just don't think that, I think that, you know, she's like this weird remnant of the Divas era. I think that she's going to like continue to fade into obscurity. And I think that she actually put on a really good, decent job here in this match. I don't know. I'm not like, Nia Jax is a weird character to me because like, I think that, you know, she's definitely unique looking and she definitely like can do, you know, like she does like that big kind of like giant heel character really like well, but I don't know. She's still, to me, like she's still so green. And I think that like, you know, when she works a match with someone like Bayley, like they can put on a really interesting show. But, right now, like when she's working like these new people on Raw, she just seems so, she basically is like back to square one.
Yeah. I mean, she was the biggest surprise to me in the draft where I felt like she needed probably could benefit from some more time in NXT. Especially now, I think it would be interesting. But they're kind of using her Raw time to develop her, which is interesting. I mean, I like the squash matches. I like that happens. But, you know, and like you said, she's really interesting. So I look forward to something in the future. I don't know what exactly, but I think right now, and I do feel bad for Alicia Fox. I feel like there's almost no place for her right now, so even though she's talented. So it's kind of weird.
I feel like if I were them, I would have like kept Nia down there for a while longer, and then, you know, let these new women establish themselves and be like, okay, like the new women's division is so much better, and then and establish like all the athleticism and all that stuff, and then have Nia Jax appear maybe like in 6 months and just like destroy, you know, basically Brock Lesnar, you know, and like, if Bayley's the champ, just toss her around and just destroy her. And I think that, you know, that would just be really interesting having that dynamic, right? Because you've never had a woman Brock Lesnar, basically.
Right. I think that is interesting. So, and it can still happen, so I hope it does. All right, what would you grade this match?
You know, I think that it could have been really bad, and I think Alicia Fox managed to I mean, are we doing letters or are we doing stars?
We're gonna go letters. Give it a letter.
Letters. I mean, in terms of effort and stuff, I'd say a B, but I'd say that probably as a match, probably like more of a C.
All right, we're gonna go with a C, or maybe a B minus. We'll go somewhere in the middle.
If we're doing Meltzer stars, I'd do 1.5. Well, because Meltzer stars are not necessarily about like, it's like, you know, it's the mix of like the story mixed with like the audience, mixed with the wrestling, mixed with like a lot of things.
I think I do those as well. I think those should be considered with the letter grade as well. Like,
okay, keep
all that in mind: the story, action, and, you know, lack of botches. We just go that way.
Yeah, all right. It wasn't too bad.
Okay, so we go B minus C. All right. Raw Tag Team Championship match: The New Day defeats Gallows and Anderson. I missed this match. Starting off the show with The New Day, I think the second pay-per-view in a row, maybe, that this has happened. But I understand you want to start it hot. And The New Day are hot. Or are they? Do you think The New Day is cooling off a little bit?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on this. Well, just the other day, I was talking to Mr. Austin Creed. And I was feeling bad because, you know, so he's in our game, Read Only Memories, which is coming out soon. We actually had to delay it again, and I'm like, oh man, this guy's going to be so tired of like me coming back to him and being like, we're delaying our game. So I felt really bad about all that. But I was just, you know, just kind of talking to him about, you know, everything. And it's interesting, like, talking to him, because I talked to him, I talked to Kofi, I haven't actually met Big E yet. And it was kind of interesting kind of just getting their, like, I really liked New Day as a heel group, because I felt like they were, like, really subversive, right? Where they were taking this gimmick that was being forced upon them that's like super racist, right? But they made it work, and they basically like co-opted the system to create their own thing where they could just kind of like do their own thing, where it's like, I don't, you know, we don't give a shit, we're just gonna do whatever. And they basically created a character like this group that's this, you know, three black guys who are super nerdy, and they are just themselves, and they live like shame-free in terms of like, oh, we like nerdy stuff and unicorns and stuff, and that's cool, right? And I think that was I think it was rad. And you know, they pivoted maybe to heel heat, and eventually the crowd caught on, and then whatever, and they became faces. And obviously, when people become faces, they sort of like lose some of that edge. But I worry that now that they're these top merchandise sellers and they have like a good thing going, that they're now playing the safe route. And that's sort of the impression I get a little bit, is like, these guys are not getting paid a ton of money, because, basically they haven't contract renegotiated since doing New Day. And I think that they are like trying to look out for their families and, take care of themselves. But I think that it's not really as dynamic and interesting.
So you think a heel turn is probably needed to keep this going, or maybe some kind of big shakeup, or...
I think that they're going to lose the titles tonight.
Okay.
We, the wrestling community, have been like, okay, the club have to win here. They have to win. And they keep on not winning.
Keep losing, yeah.
but they keep losing by heel. Like, they haven't really lost clean, right?
Okay, so let's talk about this match, though. So, yeah, how did they win?
I think it was great.
How did New Day win? I didn't catch this match as well. So, what happened?
Well, so New Day came out. They did their whole shtick. They've been champions 399 days. Well, first of all, they mentioned it, and the announcers mentioned the dates, which means that they're going to lose it really quick, right, soon. Whenever they announce the dates, that means that. But also, they changed the titles to the Raw Tag Team titles instead of the World Tag Team titles. And they're still saying, we are your WWE World Tag Team title, champions. So I think from a business standpoint, they're going to want to take the titles off of them so that way they can rebrand them, right? And I think that for whatever reason they decided to not do the title switch at the pay-per-view, maybe to swerve it a little bit. But it immediately started off with like Gallows and Anderson coming out super strong, super like just violent, and it was really impressive. Basically they dominated most of the match, and they ended up winning. New Day ended up winning when Xavier hit one of them with a trombone behind the referee's back. What I assume is going to happen is they're going to petition for like a fair 2-on-2, where have one of them banned from ringside. And I think that tonight they're going to just like destroy them. Like, it's just going to be like a total mauling, and they're going to reestablish the club as like being this like dominant team.
All right. That is a lofty prediction. That's funny. I've been predicting New Day to lose every match in like the last 4 pay-per-views, because I feel like they were mentioning it a lot about the time that they had it and things like that. And I felt like it was time for a shakeup. I feel like them losing with maybe some inner team shenanigans, like maybe Big E makes a mistake or something like that. And then it creates maybe a dynamic, because I feel like these guys are kind of surface level at this point, and it's been over a year. I'm kind of ready for... I thought they teased it with the Wyatt's thing, and I was really interested in that. And I'm maybe hoping to get, not necessarily some infighting, but just maybe some inner conflict that'll get these guys to take it a little more seriously.
I think that also just like, I don't really feel the same level of love that they used to have, in terms of like, they just seem like three thieves, right? They're like thick as thieves, or they're just like, they are just like, they're pulling a fast one on the company, and they're getting to do their own thing, and no one can tell them what to do, and it's being successful. And they were just kind of like, yeah, we're fucking doing it. And now that they've kind of made it, I almost feel like they're not really as like familiar or as friendly with one another as they used to be.
Really? So you think it's just...
Yeah.
But there's not... And I can agree with you. They're not being as like cutting edge and things like that. It's not... Maybe they're kind of coasting. Like, we made it. We did it,
I think it's that too. But I think also like, when you work with someone for over a year and you see them every day, I think they might be getting on each other's nerves. And I don't mean that from like a storyline perspective. I just mean like, if you look at the way they would used to like play around and just be super silly, and now whenever they play around, it's always very like scripted and very like, it feels forced. I feel like it's not natural anymore.
And that's a natural thing that can happen. Like you said, being around someone forever, you're like, oh God, you get a little tired of it. So, and if that's showing on TV, which, you're saying it is, then yeah, it might be time for some sort of a shakeup, I think. I don't know. But what would you grade this match?
I would love to see either a heel Xavier or a heel Big E. I can't buy Kofi as a heel. because he's too nice of a guy.
Yeah, I always and felt like Xavier seems like the brains of the group, so I feel like he'd be the perfect heel in that regard. Big E as well, I think he's primed for a main event run, and I would love to see it, you know, before he gets older or, God forbid, does one of those dives and ends it all. So I would love to see either of them, you know, as the heel of the group. Yeah, I feel like Kofi's a little too nice.
But no, I think the match was good. I think I was not looking forward to it. I was like, man, I don't really dig the club that much. And the New Day are kind of getting boring to me. And they put on a really physical, good match. So it was good.
All right, what would you grade it?
B plus.
All right, we got a B plus. Okay, so we're doing all right so far. This is where I joined. My flight landed in Dallas, and I had a 4 hour, luckily. Or unluckily, 4 hour layover with due to some weather things, and was sitting there watching on my phone, and I saw TJ Perkins come out to a very Mega Man-ish introduction. Did you see this?
I did. My Twitter feed was blowing up from people.
For people like, dude, what did you? Are you watching this? So,
well, it was interesting because my feed was like, it was a weird mix of positive and negative.
Okay.
For a couple reasons. Well, so like in the intro video, it's like select player, right? And he chooses TJ Perkins, and then some people were complaining that like makes all the cruiserweights seem interchangeable. So I thought that was interesting. Apparently, TJ Perkins has like a weird kind of like men's rights activist kind of following or something. Because I wasn't really following it, but apparently a bunch of people on Twitter were like, TJ Perkins is a real like scumbag guy or whatever, and I was like, okay, that's news to me. But that was interesting because I'd never heard that before. And then as he was coming out, I was seeing, you know, interesting, like, I think some people really liked the idea that they were using chiptune on WWE. I think some people didn't feel like it was dynamic enough. I think this is exciting for you, and that it sounds like they're open to new forms of music.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, I've heard, you know, mixed reviews as well, and I also heard that TJ Perkins is not a great guy, but I hope that that's not the case. But I don't know. I don't know.
Anybody that dabs that much and does it unironically, I can't think they're a good person.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the dab is a little bit kind of bordering on played out, but it's still cool, and he makes it look cool.
I thought the dab, like, so the thing is the dab mudalock, I can dig that. Like,
I can dig that
if you can name that, like, the dab lock, because that's so fucking like stupid and lame and like ridiculous that I'm like, okay, I can get behind that.
But yeah, I could ride with that.
But man, I mean, so, okay, but my here's my real problem though. It's not, you know, the MRA thing or whatever. It's that I don't think that anybody was asking for TJ Perkins. Like, of all the people in the Cruiserweight Classic, I don't think that anyone was like, man, TJ Perkins, that's the guy. And I understand that they couldn't get a contract.
Well, yeah, if they couldn't get those folks, they had to go with what, you know, their options, you know?
I know, but I just don't feel like, I mean, of all the people, like, and you look at it, like, how dynamic, you know, that was, and it's just like, man, TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick, and then they put on a fine match. But I mean, like, I just think, like, you look at, you could either have someone like Cedric Alexander, who's like basically the total package. We have like someone like Rich Swann, who, you know, maybe doesn't have as much of like, I mean, he's a little bit more kind of wild, but he's just a bit, but that's cool because he can use like these wild things like the standing 450, which is, you know, ridiculous. And I just feel like, man, 38-year-old, you know, Brian Kendrick, who's kind of like, we've already seen him, and TJ Perkins is like, I don't know if that was the right like match for that first, especially after that like, wild four-way too.
Yeah. I hear what you said also about the comment about these guys being interchangeable. I thought the four-way was great. I didn't really feel like any of them was over, at least in the beginning. They kind of got themselves over throughout the match. So that's my worry about cruiserweights in general on Raw, is that are they going to stick these guys into a generic 15-minute segment where they get no story time, they're just a bunch of interchangeable dudes flying around. You know what I mean? So I hope that that's not the case.
Oh, no, I think that's exactly what's... I mean, I think that, like, when you look at the way the Cruiserweight Classic was basically, like, filmed and all the visuals were done like a Street Fighter game, and the way that they're doing it now is, like, I think they're totally treating it like these are video game characters. Which is, you know, which is good in one way, But another way, I think they're not going to get over because they're always going to be these interchangeable things. And I think that like the dynamic was really good in that four-way, right? So you have like the you know, the Lucha Libre guy, you have like the super fast guy, the all-around guy, and then like the cowardly heel. But this match was really weird because when you have like the cowardly heel and just like TJP, who just doesn't really have a character, which I just kind of just being TJP. It's a weird thing, and it's both like, okay, this is your first ever one-on-one cruiserweight match, and both of their finishers are submission moves.
Yeah.
I'm just like, man, like, I don't know, just something doesn't seem right, man. I don't know. I would have much rather seen, like, I don't know, like, Neville or someone who, like, I don't know. To me, the match was okay. Yeah, the match was okay, but, like, the match-up of those two people didn't do it for me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm hoping Neville becomes a part of the cruiserweight division and really makes some noise in there. What would you grade this match?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, the thing is that, like, the match itself was fine, but comparatively to the work that everyone else seems to be putting in right now, I never really got that, like, that interested in, you know, comparatively to, even just the other day, I don't know if you saw, Cedric Alexander versus, Andrade, Cien.
Oh no, I didn't catch that one.
Yeah, that was actually like really good. And Andrade, like I'm on the Cien train finally. But nothing about this really was like, man. Brian Kendrick actually wrestles for the local. I don't know if he does now, but he used to be like a regular Hood Slam here in Oakland. And I love Brian Kendrick. He's great. He's super dynamic. But nothing here. I don't know. This thing is called the Captain's Hook, and he's like a weird pirate guy. I don't know. None of this is, like, ringing true to me.
No.
So, I give the match a C. I mean, I don't know. It was fine. It was a good effort. But comparatively to I don't think that they're keeping pace with the rest of the cruiserweight community right now.
Yeah, I can agree with that. A C sounds right to me. I agree. Next, we got the Best of 7 Series finale. Question mark. Cesaro versus Sheamus ends in a no contest draw, thrown out, didn't count, didn't happen, something. I don't know. Basically, I thought this match was outstanding, actually. I thought the match really, really drove it home that both of these guys won it. They told a great story. But then I think the end of the no contest was really unfair to us that now we have to probably do this again. And I don't think anybody even asked for it in the first place. So,
right, well, I think that's the problem, is that, like, They're very clearly, like, both Cesaro and Sheamus are like, someone put a fire under their ass, and we're like, this is you guys better not blow this, like, you're gonna get lapped. And like, they went out there and they put out an amazing performance, and they did the best they could. But this was now the ninth match in a row between these people.
Right. Yeah, they did they had a match and then started the Best of 7 series.
They had two matches first. Cesaro won the first two matches.
Oh yeah.
And then they had the Best of 7, and then they had three Sheamus, and then one was a house show, and then so basically there's been eight televised matches, and now we're getting a ninth televised match, and really the tenth out of the series or whatever.
Well, like, I had a friend tell me or throw in a tweet that was a really cool idea. What if you think? Because again, no one wants to see a ninth match of these guys. So, what if Mick Foley or someone throws a fast one and says, "All right, I said I would give whoever showed me the most a championship opportunity. Both of you guys have shown me a lot, so I'm teaming you up, and you're getting a tag team title shot."
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense, actually, and I think that that actually is. So I think that the way that they phrased this was actually very smart, if a little contrived, in terms of like them saying, "Oh, well, it's a championship opportunity," because I think that they, you know, they knew that, like, you know, especially after Seth gets injured. Or, I mean, they didn't think of that, but, you know, Seth got injured at SummerSlam when they started it. But, not Seth, sorry, Finn. I think that this is a nice, like, you know, business out, where you can be like, oh, well, if, I don't know, if someone gets injured or whatever happens, we can immediately just pass the title to Sheamus or Cesaro, right? But if everything is going fine, then we can put them together as a tag team instead and be like, oh, they gained each other's respect after, like, beating the hell out of each other for so long that they realize that they're, like, basically, like, brothers from another mother kind of thing, where they're, like, you know, where they're, like, oh, well, you know, you may be Swiss and I may be Irish, but we're really we're cut from the same cloth, right?
I mean, that could get Sheamus over. I feel like he's kind of been stagnant for a little while, and Cesaro, of course, is huge with the fans. So maybe it could work out.
I think that actually is what's going to happen.
Because I don't think it would be Cesaro versus Owens.
But the thing is, Cesaro is just such a bad promo.
I don't think that they would put him in the main event ever.
I think having him in this tag team with Sheamus makes probably the most sense.
Yeah, I think you're right. As much as I'd love to see it, I can't see Cesaro as world champ. I mean, maybe they go U.S. title, like, here's an opportunity. It's a championship, you know, or something like that. But yeah, I can't necessarily see him getting to the top of the mountain, unfortunately.
No, I mean, I think they haven't done the Strange Bedfellows in a while, right?
Yeah, it's been a while. And those are usually interesting when
I think the last one that was like Santino and Kozlov. You know, and they milked that for like a good year, year and a half. I mean, it's not, wasn't really good for either of their careers when you become a comedy character. But, I mean, that actually might help Cesaro as having some personality.
Yeah, I think so. I think that that could help him out a lot. Sheamus is definitely a little more, I think, comfortable on the mic. And I think that maybe they could bring something cool out of each other. So, what do you grade this match?
I mean, I thought it was great. I think that the... I'm surprised with the no contest thing, and I mean, I'm interested to see where they go with it. But the match was good. I'd say a B. I mean, they definitely like beat the hell out of each other, and that one dive where Cesaro like landed on his head was really scary. So good for them. I mean, not good that he did that, but good for them for putting it all out there.
Yeah, that was super scary, man. I thought he had killed himself. That was insane. I think I, for one, am okay with them stopping these headfirst suicide dives. They gotta stop. I don't like it. But anyway, yeah, I'd give it a B, man. I thought it was great. I thought the ending was a little too predictable, I think. I felt like I predicted right before it started. I was like, okay, everyone thinks Cesaro's taking this, so no contest. Like, that was my prediction tweet right before it happened. And it happened, so... Anytime I can predict it, it loses a little bit of points for me. But I thought the action and the story were great, so I give it a B. No,
I was thinking that they were going to do the whole, like... I thought they were going to go straight line, right? I thought it was going to be, you know, Sheamus gets his three wins, and then Cesaro pulls off the comeback, and that's it. And so the fact that they did the no contest thing, I was like, oh, okay. Like, they are thinking of going another direction with it. Because I feel like that would have just been so, like... convoluted.
I'm
glad that they didn't just go the direct path.
I'm glad too. Next we had Jericho versus Sami Zayn. This match I really enjoyed. What did you think of this one?
I think that the ending was interesting. I read all of Jericho's books, and you know, he talks about how when he created the Codebreaker, he wanted to have something like the RKO or the stunner that he could kind of hit from out of nowhere and hit it. But it always, like, you know, depending on how it hits, the Codebreaker is not the stunner, and it's not the pedigree. It doesn't seem right. And so, you know, in this match, when he hits it on Zayn, like, Zayn sells it so well, and it looks so cool. But it's just, like, very, like, I don't know. It was too out of nowhere to me. I mean, I liked it. I like how they ended it. But at the same time, it was just like, man, if you could just hit that move and nothing else in the match mattered at all. Something about that was a little
odd. Yeah, maybe it was like rushed or something. Maybe they were over time and they're like, all right, wrap it up. Okay,
boom. Well, also, you could see Jericho really clearly calling for the end at the end. And that I found that to be super weird that, like, the camera, you can clearly see him like talking to Sammy, and then they do the spot. And I was like, yeah, I mean, you're right. Maybe they were rushed or something, because it seemed odd that they would be so sloppy.
Yeah, I think they were just up against time, and they were like, end it, cut it. And I mean, Sammy's always great at selling. I mean, he looks like he's dying in every match. And I mean, I think that always brings so much to the match. I feel the result, I think it needed to happen. I think Jericho's on a crazy roll right now. I mean, he's doing some of his best stuff of his career. And I mean, there's been so much great stuff. So to even say it's near the best is a huge compliment. You know, every week is just something new and cool. The list of Jericho is amazing. And I thought, oh, Sammy needs this to get back on track, but I think Jericho needs this to, because he's hot, you know? So I'm not mad at the result at all.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's weird because, like, I think Jericho's this really interesting person in that, like, he's kind of like he's not really a great person. He's kind of, like, annoying and, like, especially, you know, when you see his, like, face gimmick and you see, like, what he thinks he is, where he thinks he's, like, this cool guy, like, he's not. And it's, like, really, like, it's really lame and it's really, like, just, like, ugh, you know, and his music is terrible and it's whatever. But when he's just, like, vibing and just being, like, the you know, like, the scummy heel and not really, like, I don't know, just, like, you know, like, he is playing a character, but he's really just, like, turning up his, like, just scumminess. It just comes off so, like, genuine. And it's so great, and I think that he deserves, like, he's been, you know, he comes back and he keeps on putting people over. And all he does, there's so much, you know, despite the fact that he is, like, a scumbag person, unlike a lot of wrestlers, he actually, like, all he does is put people over. Like, you know, so every time he has a match, it's like, oh, it's against Evan, you know, Evan Bourne, and he loses to Evan Bourne clean, he loses here clean, loses to Fandango clean. All he does is lose clean to give people over, because he respects the business. But he's too good for that. He should be winning. And Sami Zayn, honestly, is a character that should be losing more than they should be winning.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been his character, the underdog, and I feel like, you know, so a loss doesn't necessarily hurt him at all. So I think it's okay. I'd like to see Sami maybe in the U.S. Championship picture, but now that we got kind of big guys there, I don't know if that would work. But I don't know. I'd like to see a little more out of Sami, but I'm definitely okay with him losing this match.
I'm sure that you'll see, and you know, before this Kevin Owens experiment is done, you'll see Sami versus Owens again for the title.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it'll probably be either on a Raw or maybe on a pay-per-view, but I do believe we'll see it again.
I think that, you know, I actually my predictions right now is for WrestleMania would be Triple H versus Seth Rollins, and it would be Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn for the title.
Really?
Yeah, and I think that that's the direction they're going to go.
Wow. So you see Sami Zayn what, winning the Royal Rumble?
Well, no, not necessarily. Well, also, you know, I don't know what the rules are going to be, you know, for that. Because, you know, cause it's going to be cross, whatever. I would assume, like, okay, my thought process would be that whoever wins the Royal Rumble is going to go for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay. The SmackDown title, yeah.
Yeah. Just okay. Because I think that there's not, like, as many outs on SmackDown. Like, and there's a lot of, like, bigger names. Like, there's, like, the John Cena's and, you know, there's a couple bigger names on SmackDown that don't really have direction. And I think on Raw, they already have a lot of, like, character motivations that, like I said, Sami Zayn just makes the most sense. But who knows, right?
Huh, who knows? I think that would be interesting. What do you grade this match?
B+. I thought it was great. I think, I don't know, it was good. It was good. B+. I think that, you know, if there was actually something on the line, and it wasn't just like a random kind of filler match, you know, I think it would have been a little better. But I also kind of appreciated being like, the fact that he beat Sami Zayn is like, you know, just because he's friends with Kevin Owens, you know, and I kind of like the whole, you know, dynamic they have going on there.
Yeah, I think this maybe, and it may wind up happening again, but like a rematch of this and like winner's number one contender or something like that would make for an interesting dynamic. I do feel like Jericho and Owens are probably going to have to lock horns at some point, but that's probably way down the line. But I would like to see this.
I don't think it's going to happen at all.
Never? You don't think so?
I think that, you know, one thing that they're really going for lately is like more long term booking of like, look at how they're doing like the club, where like they broke them up into different you know, whatever, different shows. Yet they still they're still in the club and like no one turned on one another. I think that they actually are starting to like appreciate having, you know, a longer term booking where it's like, yeah, they're just friends and that's just how it is.
I would be okay with that. All right. One thing I noticed by this point in the show, I was like, hey, where's Enzo and Cass? And then I realized that Enzo and Cass did not have a match. What's that all about? Was, I mean, I don't know. Was there anything? Did you hear anything? Is there a particular reason you think why they didn't have a match on this show, or they just had a night off?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting that they, I thought it was very interesting that they decided that they want to put them in this, like, lower end feud with the Colognes. And just in general, I mean, I don't know. I find the Colognes to be very interesting in terms of, like, they never really seem to get that much, like, respect from WWE. But I'm surprised that, you know, with this kind of, like, really junky kind of xenophobic gimmick that they've given them, I'm surprised that they even are putting them on the same level as Enzo and Cass and that they're giving them wins.
Yeah. That's a surprise to me, too. I mean, I guess there's really, I don't know, maybe there's nothing else for them to do right now. So they're like, maybe Enzo and Cass can elevate these guys. The tag team division needs work on Raw. So they got to get somebody over somehow, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the whole issue with the whole, like, you know, with having these separate rosters. If I, unless you're going to, like, actually hire a ton more people, which I would hope they would, but if they're not, I don't know how you're going to, like, the roster's so thin. How many tag teams are there? Like, 4, 5?
Yeah, like, not many. I don't know. Alright, well, next we have the Women's Championship, which is, I kind of feel the same way about the women's on Raw, where I feel like there's, like, 3 of them, and that's it. Like, there's, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's because everyone else is separated. I don't necessarily think about Nia Jax and Alicia Fox, but it seems to be just, like, 3 women, and that's it, and Charlotte, Sasha, and Bayley. And, so, triple threat match, this is what initially I picked to be the match of the night. I don't think it was, but I did find it very entertaining. What did you think of this match?
I thought it was good. I mean, I think, you know, like, these women clearly know, you know, each other. And, you know, they know how to kind of, like, make a good match on one another. And they're all getting more comfortable in their roles and doing good. I think that the story was very, like, you know, this is all kind of, like, just a basically... Nothing has really changed from NXT, right? Like, this is all just kind of the same stuff from NXT. And so, I mean, I think the story itself is not that, like, exciting. And I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to see where the division goes. But right now, I feel like we've already seen all of this. And none of this is, like, that exciting. And I think that this is all basically a retread of what happened on, you know, in NXT. So I'm eager to see where it ends up going down the line. But... yeah, I mean, I think the match itself was fine. I don't know. Like, this basically, like, what was the WrestleMania match? It was Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch. Oh, yeah, so, I mean, I think that, like, you know, just adding in Bayley is not, I don't know. I would like to see someone else join the fray.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe it's, and I'm going to bring this up later, but maybe I know who it is. So remind me to bring that up later. All right, next match. Well, what would you grade this match first?
B. All
right, yeah, I agree. Let's go with a B. U.S. Championship match, Roman Reigns defeats Rusev, and Roman is the new U.S. champ, believe that. What were your thoughts on this match?
You know, I mean, I think it's a... I don't know. I mean, it's very clearly a mistake in terms of, like, this is not hot. This is not, like, no one is like, yeah, but it's not like, no one is also like, oh man, this is the worst thing ever. Like, I can't believe that they give the U.S. title Roman, right? So it's not really getting, like, heel heat either. I think it's just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Like, okay. It's just weird because it's like this, again, like, and I keep bringing this up, but, like, it's all, like, this weird, like, patriotism thing where it's like, oh, yeah, I beat that evil Russian. But he's not, like, I mean, he's, like, Samoan. It's, like, not a, like, it's really weird. And he, like, comes out and he interrupts this guy's, like, wedding celebration. And, like, I don't know why I would feel bad for Roman Reigns at all here. Like, I wanted him to, like, and you know what? I'm completely disregarding all the other Roman Reigns stuff. But if you just look at this feud, he's just been a total jerk.
Yeah.
And, like, what has Rusev done besides be foreign? That's bad, you know, and be, like, kind of loud and annoying. And I just be like, I don't know. I feel bad for Roman Reigns. I mean, for Rusev. So, I don't know. Having having Reigns just beat him clean, like, it works for his character in terms of, like, if we want to keep Reigns as being this, like, super dominant, like, just beast, cool, like, great. Like, this is what you need to do. He needs to win. He needs to win important matches. But in terms of, like, yeah, I don't know. I think this is just, this, it could have been so much more, and it just kind of just was there, and people were like, all right, whatever, sure.
Yeah, I wasn't super excited about it. The feud, like you said, it all begins with Roman being a jerk. So it's like, why are we supposed to cheer for you? It's been strange. The booking with Roman has been very, very strange. And I don't know. It's like, if they want people to like him, then you don't do things like that. I don't get it. So I don't know what's gonna happen with this U.S. title reign. I really like Rusev. I've been a fan for a long time. I feel like he's a main event talent. And I don't know. Maybe this is a slight move up for Rusev, but I don't know who else Roman could even face in that at the U.S. title level to make it interesting. So I don't really know what's going on. I don't know. I don't hate it. I predicted it.
I think that they will probably do something along the same lines as Cena, where they will basically make him this, like, workhorse champion. Which, you know, with the hope that will, you know, people will get excited about him if he's, you know, winning matches and he's a constant workhorse kind of thing. Which I think is not the worst decision in the world. I think that could theoretically, I mean, I don't think it's going to work, but I understand the logic behind it.
Yeah, I understand them trying, but yeah, I don't know if that's going to totally work and get them over, but okay. I mean, if they're more comfortable with doing that than turning them heel, then okay. You know, it should be interesting. Not the worst idea I've heard. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that. What would you grade this match?
I think that, again, like, they're doing a fine job, I guess, but it's just like, I went into it with an open mind. I don't think it ever got interesting at all, or it never was captivating as, like, from a story perspective.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I liked the story. I liked Lana pulling out the referee. That was cool. At that point, I'm like, why not just end the match in disqualification? But I'm like, nah, no one wants that. So, okay, let's keep it going and get her out of there. All right.
In a way, like, I feel like the match was like the debates, where it's like, I don't really want either of these people to win. I kind of just want it to be over.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I was kind of ready for it to end. All right. So, yeah, I can agree with the C on that one. Now, the Universal title match, Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. Dream match for a lot of people, a lot of indie folks who have been watching these guys for the past 10 years. Like, man, they played in, you know, these guys wrestled in gyms, you know, to 100 people. And now they're main eventing a pay-per-view. So I think that's a cool story. Kevin Owens defeats Seth Rollins with a lot of shenanigans, a lot of cheating. But what was your thoughts on this match?
I was surprised that they decided to go, like, full WWE on it. You know, like, I really thought that it was going to be this, like, nice, clean, you know, like, they were just going to have, like a 20, 30-minute match, right? Where, you know, Seth Rollins would basically become the face by being this, like, super facey, you know, facey face. And you know, Owens would just be a total jerk the entire time. And you know, you would basically win over, you know, like, the crowd would eventually like Seth Rollins just because of the contracts. But instead they go, you know, full WWE, where, you know, friggin', you know, Jericho is getting involved, and then Stephanie's coming out, and this and that. And I don't know if that's necessarily the wrong thing, but I don't know. I don't think that, if I were doing it, I would have went a slightly different direction. I would have let the match be what it was, and then let people see why these people are worth seeing, as opposed to immediately going into, like, you know, all these shenanigans.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really, that's been my only complaint with Kevin Owens as champ, they haven't really showed you, like, this is why he's the guy. You know what I mean? I mean, we know, because we've watched them over the past year or two, but giving him a championship match you know, or a match as champion rather, that lets people know, like, this is why he's got the belt, you know what I mean? And I was hoping for, I was hoping this would be that one. And yeah, they went way shenanigans with it, and I'm not mad at shenanigans, but I thought that that, again, I'm waiting for the Seth Rollins face moment, and I mean, I guess, and I'm also okay with them playing tweener for a while, but I thought, yeah, you let two people stomp on them, that's usually like, hey, that's the good guy they're getting stomped on, you know what I mean? Like, that's usually the thing. So I was thinking, okay, well, they're just gonna cheat them, and cheat them a whole lot until people just get so frustrated with that, that they're all out cheering for Seth. But I felt like, I don't know, I still feel like I would like to see the good guy moment out of Seth. But this tweener thing is good.
I think that you'll probably see it tonight.
You think so?
I think, I don't know. I mean, the thing is that, like, I say all these things based off conventional wisdom, but I don't know if they're just going to, like, consider tonight a wash because of the debates and not really doing
it. That's what I'm worried about. I don't think all those or any of those exciting things that we talked about are going to happen because it's the debates and, you know, I don't know.
I think that the ratings for tonight's Raw will be the lowest ever.
Like, ever in history.
Ever. I think it will be like a 1.1.
Wow.
Well, it was a 1.9 the other day. So, I mean, that's not even like...
So, yeah, I guess that's not beyond the realm of possibility. And, yeah, so... So then why waste a great moment then, I feel, you know... Not to say Seth Rollins has to have the Stone Cold beer bath or the... You know what I mean? Or the Kurt Angle milk bath super face moment. But I don't think they would do that on a night going up against the debates. We'll see. But what did you think of this match? They gave these guys 25 minutes. I thought I saw a lot of cool stuff. I thought Seth Rollins was really hurt from that gut buster from the top rope. I mean, he sold that the whole rest of the match. But yet he still frog splashed and did all the amazing things he does. So might be one of the first times I've seen two frog splashes, one by each wrestler in a match. Might have been. I haven't seen that in a while. And but yeah, I thought the match was great. A lot of cool offense, a lot of innovative stuff, but it just got really kind of wonky at the end, really funky. But I don't know. I think that this pay-per-view was supposed to not answer any questions, but just kind of create a little more suspense. So I think that they did that well. The Stephanie and the referee thing and I don't know. So I thought the match was decent, but I guess I wanted more out of I just wanted them to let these guys go, honestly. So to me, I'm going to say a C, but what do you think?
Yeah, I know. I would say a C minus. I mean, I don't know. Like, I enjoyed the fact that, like, Jericho is involved in some sort of, like, you know, main event storyline. That's hot to me. But other than that, I mean, like, yeah, the whole match was just like, this could have been, like, a really interesting, you know, match between these two, you know, like, super, like, studs, you know, of, like, just, like, the Ring of Honor, you know, fame. And instead of letting them really go at it, you know, they have a match that's totally just, like, the WWE show. Which is, you know, which is fine. I mean, that's also what people are paying for, but I don't know. I would have allowed them to have a little bit of fun first.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, C to C minus for the championship match. I feel like this pay-per-view got worse as it went on, according to our grades. So, overall, I'll just rate this on a very simple pass-fail basis. Was this pay-per-view worth the 3 hours you spent watching it?
I would say no. I mean, I really enjoyed that. No, that Backlash was only 2 hours, and all the matches seemed to mean something and were really good. Here, you know, there was only one title change, and the title change was the U.S. title, which was I did not care about. I don't know. It just seemed like a real, like, placeholder-y show where it didn't have to be, and Backlash should have been a placeholder show, and I was expecting a placeholder show, and it really impressed me.
Yeah, and, I feel like this could have been an episode of Raw, unfortunately, and a lot of these matches didn't have to happen. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I overall didn't feel like it was quite worth it, so on a pass-fail basis, I give it a fail. But I do think that the action was at least entertaining in most of the lower to mid card matches. So overall, I guess it's at a C, I suppose. And you led me right into the next thought. I was going to ask your thoughts on SmackDown in comparison to Raw. So is SmackDown now the superior show?
I would say at least right now it is. You know, obviously, like, you know, they have, I think, some pretty good I think that they have this really nice mix of, like, you know, the AAA talent. So they have the, you know, the AJ Styles and John Cena and the Dean Ambrose or whatever. And then the rest is all just, like, super low tier. But I almost feel like that's a good chance for them to, like, allow them to, like, you know, grow and try new things. And, you know, like, you know, imagine having someone from the Ascension or, I don't know, whatever, you know, win an important match. And it's like, it wouldn't be as out of line on SmackDown. But I feel like Raw kind of has, like, this, like, with people who are good, like Sheamus, but not really that, like, interesting. And, you know, like, it has Sheamus and Rusev and Roman Reigns and all these people who are, like, I'm not really that excited about. But they're fine. But, I don't know, I just feel like SmackDown has a much more interesting dynamic right now.
I think, and I agree, I think it's the less is more thing. I think just having less to work with, less time, I think that they're just making the most of every segment, of every moment, of every match. Raw has more, there's more talent, more time, and so they're like, let's just get everybody a chance. And that's not always going to make for a better product. And so that's, honestly, I feel like, yeah, because there's such a divide in the amount of talent they have, SmackDown's just been able to make more happen with it, I think.
I also think that 2 hours really helps out a lot. I think, like, you know, when you look at, like, some of the best shows, like Lucha Underground, like, it's an hour, or, like, NXT, it's an hour, and, like, it makes those times that they have stuff going on be important and meaningful, as opposed to, you know, with Raw, where it's just, like, so much filler.
Yeah, so much. And then they're adding more with the cruiserweights, so I don't know. All right, so two superstars that are coming back soon. To Raw, actually. Do you think, well, not in general, do you think that these, that one of them is Paige? And I think, hopefully, I mean, we were talking about the women's division and maybe adding some spice, and I think that Paige can come back and maybe add a little to that. What do you think? And also, Luke Harper is returning soon. Any chance of either of them to making an impact on TV?
No, I think Paige is done. I think that even if Paige comes back, I think that her heart, like, she wanted to quit. She tried to quit. And even if someone was like, you can't quit, you know, like, you know, whether the legal team or her family or someone was like, that is not an option. And, you know, she's like, I guess I don't, you know, especially because I you know, her contract, like, you know, she's in a very long-term contract with Total Divas and this and that. Like, you know, like, she can't just walk away. But if she wants to walk away and her heart's not in it, she's done. So, and, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they're just going to, like, job her out or what. But I think that she's you know, she's no longer emotionally invested. I think Luke Harper, I think they'll give him a chance. But I'm worried that they're going to, like, Eric Rowan it, where they're going to, like, give him, like, some sort of weird, like, face turn or something that doesn't really fit his character, and it will be kind of a mess, and then people will be like, eh, that sucks.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to give either of them a lot of chances as far as getting over. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, I want to see something, but I'm just not sure what's going to happen with there. All right, well, that is our wrap-up of WWE. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more with Matt Kahn about your video game, sir.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff. So we'll be back in a second. It's Matt Mania. Thanks for listening. See ya.
Hey, everyone. This is Zenith, and I'm a proud member of the Bits and Rhymes fan club on Patreon. This club, which is the brainchild of teacher, rapper, hero, Mega Ran, and his frequent music collaborator, Kay Murdoch, a.k.a. the Sound Samurai, pays homage to the fellas gaming and hip-hop roots, and it serves as an outlet for Ran and Kay to continue to create their unique brand of audio as well as occasional video content for us, the fans of those creations. Whether you dig their music projects, like their Forever Famicom series, or their weekly radio show, The Manual, there is even more content available via the fan club. From free downloads of exclusive music only available to us members, to the ability to access unique content made just for fan club members. And the cool thing is, as club membership grows, so does the amount of exclusive content we, the fans, get, including new music series, streaming video, and much more. So join me and support these incredible artists. It's the Bits and Rhymes Fan Club on Patreon. That's patreon.com/bitsandrhymes. And remember, you can be a player too.
Hey, what's going on? It's Mega Rant. It's Matt Mania, and I'm here with Matt Khan. So it's a double dose of Matt Mania. You could add a T to that. Matt is in the place. We just talked about Clash of Champions and what we thought of it. A little bit of SmackDown versus Raw talk. And finally, I want to get into your video game, sir.
Yeah, well, so it's called Read Only Memories. It's a cyberpunk adventure game. It's like a point-and-click kind of old-school style. So if you remember like the old Sierra adventure games, like Police Quest or, you know, any of that stuff, King's Quest, any of those things. Or like old-school stuff like Snatcher or Rise of the Dragon or any of that stuff. Escape from Monkey Island. It's all kind of like stuff like that in terms of gameplay. But it takes place in San Francisco 50 years in the future, and it's this really interesting kind of dynamic story about, you know, you play this reporter who your house gets your house gets broken into by this little robot who tells you that their creator has been kidnapped, and you basically explore all around San Francisco with this robot and try to kind of figure out what happened to the creator, and you learn about this, you know, this controversy and this whole, you know, conspiracy thing that's going down. And so the game already came out on PC, Mac, and Linux without voiceover. And it's been out for a little while. It's been out since October. And then in the next coming months, we're going to be releasing it for PS4 and Vita and PC and all that stuff as 2064 Read Only Memories. And it has a bunch of new puzzles and new things. It's going to be a free update for anyone who already has the game. But what's unique about what we're doing is that we are doing a free update, but we're adding, you know, way more value, I think, than any game has ever added as a free update. Because, you know, we spent more than the original budget of the original game, add in full voice acting, and we have voice acting from around, like, the industry. So we have, like, Lee from The Walking Dead, Clementine from The Walking Dead, Adam Harrington, who's the voice of The Wolf Among Us and Wolf Among Us, Chie from Persona 4 Golden, you know, Launchpad McQuack from DuckTales, so like these really high-level voice actors, as well as like Jim Sterling and Dan Reichert. We have Xavier Woods, aka Austin Creed, from, you know, WWE. So we have some really amazing people in that are doing the game, and we just really put in this extra layer of like, if you played the game originally or you've seen it, I think it has a really great story, really great music. It's really interesting. Too Mellow, who is this really amazing musician that we, you know, met a couple years back, did all the music and all the sound production for the game. So it's a really amazing audio experience. But now with the voice acting, I think it goes from being like a little bit of a visual novel thing to being this full Hollywood experience. So I'm really excited to get it out, hopefully soon. It was actually supposed to be coming out today or tomorrow, September 27th, but we ran into some issues. As we're learning, putting a game on console is a very complicated process. And I understand now like why some people get publishers, because it's a lot of work and it's very complicated, and if you make small mistakes, it's not like Steam, you know, where you just be like, you know, you get their green light and then you're done and you can put up whatever shit you want, you know. Sony and Nintendo, I don't know about Xbox, but I know like Sony and Nintendo, like they're Japanese companies, they have very strict rules. There's very, very strict language about how you can say certain things, and you can't call it a vibration feature, you have to call it a rumble feature, and this, you know what I mean, like, it's just like, and they'll fail you, like, they'll find a million things, which is cool. I mean, like, it's their platform, and they have a very specific way of how they want their content, but it's not a simple process. But it'll be out eventually, once we figure all that stuff out.
It's coming. So for now, where can people get a hold of the game, maybe a demo, or some information on updates?
Yeah, well, if you want to play the original version without voice acting, like I said, if you buy it, you'll get the free update when it comes out. It's called Read Only Memories. You can find it on Steam, Good Old Games, Humble Bundle. It's $19.99. You can play through the story and experience it and be like, oh, this is cool. Or you can, you know, hold off until the new version comes out, and you can, you know, follow us on midboss.com or follow our Twitter at ROM2064 or at WeAreMidBoss, and you know, follow the game's progress. And yeah, we're just really excited to kind of, you know, it's this really cool, interesting game that features, you know, really diverse characters and features a lot of weird stuff that we're into. So we have a lot of, like, there's a ton of wrestling stuff in it. And so if you're a wrestling fan or you're a cyberpunk fan or you like games that are, like, kind of weird, our game is definitely very different. And, you know, if you like Call of Duty, you probably won't like the game. But if you like games that have interesting characters and stories and stuff, you might like it. But
yeah, when I first heard about it, once I heard Monkey Island and Snatcher, I was in. So
yeah, but I think the biggest like thing that you have to realize going into it is that this is like a lean back game. This is not a game that you're like on the edge of your seat, like blasting people or doing whatever. It's a very kind of like chill, have a drink, have some snacks, go through the world. So as long as you like go into that with those expectations, you're going to have a good time.
Nice. All right. Well, best of luck with the release. I will be keeping an update because I'm really, really excited to play it with voice acting. And so I will be staying in touch with you and finding out more about that.
Yeah, I'm excited to show people Xavier Woods' voice acting debut. I mean, technically he did say New Day in WWE 2K16. So technically, it's not his debut, but I'm gonna pretend like that doesn't count.
That's just a very small thing.
Yeah. And he plays Vince. The interesting thing is that he plays a character called Vincent Mensa, and Vincent Mensa is this engineer who's trying to escape the city. But the interesting thing is that Vincent Mensa, his last name is Mensa, and Kofi Kingston's last name is Mensa. His real name is Kofi Mensa. And so I was hanging out with Kofi, and I was like showing him the game, and I was like, "Oh yeah, the character's name is Vincent Mensa." And he looked at me. I was like, "No, I swear to God, that was like unintentional."
That was just the coincidence.
But he was like, and then when I was like, "Oh, it's coincidence," he was like, "Oh yeah, well actually, like Mensa is like Smith of Ghana." You know, apparently, very, very like common. Mensa is like the most common last name in Ghana. So I was like, "Oh okay." I didn't feel too weird where I was like, oh yeah, we chose like, you know, his exact name.
Right. All right. Well, shoot, man, I'm really excited about it. And, best of luck with the release. I'm sure that I'll be watching your journey. Cause I mean, I'm working on games and things myself, and I learn more about this every day. Like, I know how to put out music, you know, up and down and in and out, but when it comes to games, it's a whole different beast. So, I'm learning that. Alright, so, lastly, before we go, before I let you get out of here, I have to have you pick a music selection. So, if Matt Khan was WWE's hottest new talent, what would be your theme music that they would have to go and grab?
You know, I've been thinking about this for a long time, because, you know, one is, I run a gaming event, and I come out to music sometimes. And even when we had Darren Young as one of our bosses of honor 2 years ago, and I was like trying to get him to put me through a table, and he was like, "Yeah, sure," but then WWE was like, "No," and I was like, "I get it." PAX has this like PAXmania thing, you know, where people come out and they play like N64 versions of wrestling games, and they kind of have a show, and I have a whole, you know, I'm ready to go when they're ready, when they want me. I think that my song would probably be, have you ever played a game called Disgaea? Okay, so, it's like this kind of silly JRPG, Japanese strategy RPG, that's actually where our company's name, comes from the game, because there's a character called Midboss and whatever, blah, 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 and it was my favorite game growing up. But there was, for whatever reason, like, the entire soundtrack is just, like, super Japanese, you know, RPG music. But they licensed one song, and it's this, like, weird pop-punk song by this band called Tsunami Bomb. And the song is called The Invasion From Within. And it's just like kind of like dramatic, kind of like it's almost a little bit like the Kenny Omega song in a little bit in the opening, where it's like that, like it's got those organs and it's like overly melodramatic. And but then it like comes in with some rock, like, you know, kind of pop punky kind of rock stuff, and it's kind of silly and it's kind of corny, and it's not very punk, it's very pop punk, but it's, I don't know, there's something about it that's really like it's like our whole style with the game and kind of what we try to do. We try to be like serious and dark while also being cute. So, like with our game, it's like, you know, we basically made like a cuter version of like Blade Runner, in a way, or a cuter version of Snatcher. And so I like Disgaea because it's basically like a cuter version of like Final Fantasy Tactics. And so this song, in a way, it matches the vibe very well, where it's like it's trying to be this hardcore, like, yeah, demonic, you know, but really it's just kind of this silly, fun song. And it's like, only, yeah, so. And I actually, I was thinking about making like a Titantron video for myself. I mean, I guess this is before they, you know, they don't really make full Titantron videos anymore. Now they just do like these weird mini-trons. But yeah, I mean, I would cut out, there's an area, I would go straight from like the opening to like the bridge. But other than that, I think it fits well for an opening song.
Nice. All right.
It's got the build up and the drop and... Check it out.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we're going to go to Invasion from Within. Thank you, Matt Kahn, for being here. How can people get in touch with you if they want to chat with you?
Yeah. Well, I'm at Matt Kahn, MattConn on Twitter. Or you can email me, matt@midboss.com. So, you know, we have the game Read Only Memories. We also do a lot of work in the video game industry around, like, you know, equality and diversity in the space, specifically from like an LGBT perspective. So we have a gaming event called Gamer X. We have a documentary called Gaming in Color that kind of focus on, you know, why representation is important, and we kind of come at it from different sides. We try to do it from a really like friendly and solution based kind of like way. I think that a lot of times, sometimes I'm not always trying to find a solution, and like for us, we're always trying to figure out like how do we, you know, find ways to make everybody feel welcome at the table. Yeah, and so that's what we try to do. We try to do that with our game and our convention and our movie. We always try to do it from like a fun, you know, accessible way. We never try to be judgy or be like, you got to do this or else you're a bad person, because nobody wants to hear that, right?
No,
like
not at all.
So we always try to come at it from like a very like, you know, like just everybody's cool, like every, you know, like just respect everybody else, and also everybody has like a unique experience they can tell. And I think with our game, like, you know, we created Read Only Memories from unique experiences, and we have a pretty diverse, interesting team of people that made it. And I think that if you play it, it really shines through with, like, it is a very different game than you probably ever played in terms of the story and world and characters. And that's what we want to see more of in gaming. We just want to see more people making cool, unique stuff and more unique, diverse creators making games.
Awesome. All right, man. I am really a big fan of all you do in the fields of diversity and representation. So I want to thank you for that most of all. And I think that having it shine through in the game is super commendable. And keep up the great work, man.
Thank you. Hey, man, you too. You're killing it right now, dude. I mean, like, I like when you're on stage and you're like, you know, of all the signed rappers that Capcom has, it's like, it's Drake, Lil Wayne, and Mega Ran.
It's pretty crazy, right?
Right. I mean, you get you're in, like, I think in the same way as like with Xavier Woods, where video game culture and like the surrounding things around it are like way undervalued by the world, you know. And I think that only now people are starting to kind of get it, but they still don't really get it. And so the fact that you've been able to kind of push your way through all the bullshit and all the people who are like, that's not a real thing, or like, you know, there's no real like market there or whatever. And you're like, no, this is real, and like, this is what I feel, and like, I think it's all gonna pay like mega dividends for you soon. So I'm excited to see you selling out, you know, 100,000 person Korean soccer stadiums.
Oh snap! Thanks, dude. I appreciate it. One day.
Yeah, one day.
All right. Well, we're out of here. We're gonna take you out with the selection. And it's going down. It's Invasion from Within. It's Matt Mania. Thank you so much, Matt Kahn, for being here. And thank you guys for listening. Make sure you are 5-starring it and sharing it with all your friends. And we'll see you next time. It's Matt Mania. As always, keep your shoulders off the mat.
Matt Mania, baby.